Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
And welcome to the AEW Rampage preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of AEW Rampage. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review AEW Rampage, but also AEW Dynamite, Raw, SmackDown, NXT Dubai. Oh! Pay-per-views, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete. With a very good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to AEW Rampage tonight. And I haven't forgotten this week.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Another, back by popular demand.
Give the people what they want.
AEW Rampage rap. Back once again with the Renegade Master. Velvet's facing Cargill. She might need a plaster. More full gear fallout tonight. And Cole's bringing a fish to a fist fight. What's next for Miro? He's class. And could Darby Allin lose to Mr. Ass? Enough with the rapping. Here's why. Let's preview Rampage. Jordy Miller. Why?
Hi.
Get out. Looking forward to Rampage then tonight.
What's the word? This is why Cedric writes the book. What's the word that describes like the rhythmical flow of poetry, or I guess rap, where like cadence and number of syllables matters as much as the rhymes? Because you threw the fucking rule book out there, pal. It's like ba da 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 fast da da ass.
Right? I was just trying to get to the ass part.
Great, always great.
Oh,
are you a member of Jacket Time because you've got a lot of sleeves that you were pulling things out of?
I'm annoyed because I was going to do this whole thing where I was going to slowly start a feud and eventually get into a rap battle with Top Dollar. But, well, we'll talk about those bloody releases.
I mean, now you said that, you might still get a diss track.
Yeah, I'm scared if I do. Let's talk about Rampage tonight, though. Where should we start? Let's start with the obvious one, the reuniting of, well, a half of the Undisputed.
Whoa. Can't say that. No one ever say that anymore.
Adam Cole and Bobby Fish, they're taking on Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. All very interesting now, especially with, you know, Kenny Omega, I mean, with his litany of injuries, I think was the phrase that was being used, and that void being left at the top of the Elite, I suppose.
Yeah. I don't... On the match, I love the storyline. Love, we talked about this, we went long on Dynamite, and I loved the every detail of Kenny Omega, Adam Cole, the Elite. It's the next stage of the saga, it's the next power struggle, it's got all the remnants of the old Bullet Club splits and how when a leader's sort of integrity is compromised,
yeah,
all of a sudden they don't feel much like a leader anymore. You know, we saw Kenny turn on AJ to take over Bullet Club, and we saw Kenny ousted from Bullet Club, and blah, blah, blah. You know, you feel it all happening, it's really fun. I don't love this match loads. I love Adam Cole and Bobby Fish's coming together and all the teasers that have come with it. I love Bobby Fish not really knowing that, like, the Undisputed Era isn't a thing anymore. That's funny. And how their relationship will morph currently from Adam Cole needs him to will he end up using and abusing him? Will he end up waiting for the third man to arrive, and we can make assumptions that he might be coming? Are they going to sit on that and hopefully be patient to set up all these potential trios? Who knows? And I love not knowing. I don't love this match because it's one of the few times I can remember, certainly in recent history, where this is less of a legacy thing. So often with AEW rematches, it's because they've got a trilogy in mind, or they want to do the rematch because the babyface Cody needs to like get an act of, you know, sort of vengeance or whatever on a heel, and heroes should, you know, win in the end. So I can allow it to a point. If Cole and Fish win here, does it feel a little bit like you're 50-50'd Jungle Boy from an otherwise very successful moment for him at Full Gear? Like, it does sort of feel as if, like, well, because we're telling the elite arm of the story, do Cole and Fish win because you need to legitimize them as a unit that kind of suggests that Cole is better with Fish than he is with the Young Bucks? He lost with the Young Bucks against these wrestlers. If he wins with Bobby Fish, does it not sort of then, like, continue to open a bit of a divide between the Super Click, which was already opened up by Kenny on Dynamite on Wednesday night? It's those sort of permutations that make me think that Fish and Cole have to win. But if they do, they kind of have to beat Luchasaurus because you've gotten something special with Jungle Boy here. But if Jungle Boy's still losing, is that really what, you know? I don't know. Like, I trust them. I always trust them. I'm not sure I want to go back to this. I would have loved to have seen Cole and Bobby Fish's unity tested against somebody without needing to compromise what you achieved at Full Gear.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match at Full Gear. I mean, could have had 5 minutes taken off it, but I enjoyed the
match. The Jungle Boy element I thought was tremendous.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it was a night for the four pillars, he felt like a pillar.
Yeah, unquestionably. I was obviously surprised by the result. We completely predicted the opposite there. And I think maybe this is a step towards the booking that we were talking about, but now with the added wrinkle of, oh, well, you've got that thing now of, like, Kenny being like, all of the Elite lost, we're all crap, and what could be the new element that's been brought into the Elite that has suddenly made us be rubbish again?
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I agree. Cole and Fish win. I don't think you can have Fish lose too many too soon. I know he often comes in
to lose,
attacks someone and then loses, and that's fine, but I don't want to make it a regular occurrence and it's just be like, whoever's with Bobby Fish is losing. Mm. He's got a lot to offer, and I think he's been a sensation since he's arrived. Plus, I don't want Cole losing again.
Well,
I think Luchasaurus eats the pin, and this is the step that I thought was going to happen in the aftermath of Full Gear, which is Christian Cage getting in Jungle Boy's ear and going, you kind of need to lose all this, like, Jurassic bollocks. And that edgier side where you went,
Concerto people works, dinosaurs don't.
Exactly. Yeah. When you were sort of umming and ahhing, and then I finally got in your ear and said, no, cave that guy's skull in.
No, that's good. I like that. And there's still, even if Cole and Fish win here, Adam Cole's got a... like, he's been really pissed off with Jungle Boy since he arrived in AEW. You've got meat on the bone for a singles match. As a bit of a decider. Like, Jurassic Express win at the pay-per-view. Cole gets something here. Christian starts negging Luchasaurus, but the singles match in the meantime, Cole and Jungle Boy is a pretty big Dynamite singles match if you want to do it.
Especially if Cage is there going, cheat a bit.
Yeah, you do what you need to. Like, you watched me, like, cave his skull in a few weeks ago. Try that. Yeah. No, I like that.
It's interesting as well, like I said, with Kenny Omega gone, this void, not just within the Elite, but within the whole sphere of AEW is going to be very interesting. And also there's the question, I suppose, in terms of Full Gear fallout of what's next for people like Miro.
Yeah, what's really, really cool about the size and scope of the AEW roster, and I think it's important to remember this when the conversations come up about, well, do they really need more people? It's always about, like, I'm of the opinion, it ain't my money. Sign them all. You know, like, if there's a wrestler that's your favorite and you want to see them living the best life, like, you want to hope for AEW to sign them because it gives them a fighting chance of having it. It's not going to work for everybody, of course. But so far, evidence suggests most people will have a good swing of it. And this is why the roster does sometimes feel bloated. And you do occasionally get that feeling of, where's that guy? Where's that person I love? Like, where the fuck's Serena Deeb? And others, loads of others. And if this has been a persistent complaint throughout, for months it was Ricky Starks. Remember that? And then recently I felt it for Serena Deeb. And until Wednesday I was feeling it for Daniel Garcia.
Yeah.
You show me, like, so much in such a short space of time, I'm on the hook, and then you take them away. It's like, but the point of this big roster is because wrestlers can go away and filter in and out a little bit. And Kenny Omega will be gone, and he will be missed. But the roster won't feel emptier for it. It'll just be, I wonder what Kenny's up to. The cards will still be full. The stories will still be loaded. The roster, the talent will still be able to shine in his absence. And I think the same with Miro. This is a hard loss for him to take because this, in his mind, was the answer to everything he was looking for. The idea that this was the redemption that this was going to give him as a champion to be able to go home and satisfy his wife has been taken away yet again. So it's not easy to just reintegrate Miro into stories at this point. So don't have him be off the grid or have him be having to go, like whatever dark room he was in before, he has to go into an even darker one because if it is this god that he's looking to, this god's going to be pretty pissed with him probably. So like it's the benefit is what I'm saying of the what some people would perceive as the bloat is that it becomes sometimes AEW books for cup games and it rests key players because it wants to keep everybody as fit as possible. And what that means is you can sign Swerve and Tegan Nox and they can be valuable additions.
Well, this is what I was going to come on to. We see, you know, 8 more releases from WWE overnight. John Morrison, all of the who were left of Hit Row, those being Isaiah Swerve, Scott Ashanti, the Adonis, and Top Dollar. Tegan Nox, Drake Maverick, Shane Thorne, and Jackson Ryker all released overnight. I feel awful because I always sit here and say, oh, well, AEW should sign loads of those. And I know that there are other promotions, your Impacts, your MLWs, list goes on. But we saw what happened to Ring of Honor recently. And, you know, there's only so much space. And just saying off the top of your head, oh, well, AEW should pick up everyone who's left.
Yeah.
And the argument about them doing a TNA is moot now, I think. I think they've already proven that that's not the case. They don't just bring someone in and go, this guy was popular over there. So they come in, they allow them to, you know, get a bit creative freedom, reinvent themselves, you know, present themselves however they want to be presented, for good and bad initially for certain people. Miro, for example. But should AEW sign more released WWE wrestlers? We talked a little bit about this on the SmackDown preview because, I mean, for a company with a developing but still not where we'd hope it would be women's division, Tegan Nox feels like a no-brainer, and I'm astonished WWE've let, specifically, I like all of Hit Row, but specifically Isaiah Swerve Scott go as well.
I'm so pleased to be able to say the sentence I'm about to say. There will be 2 women's titles. So at Revolution 2022, Nixon Newell should be making it clear that she wants to win one of them. And that is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, the division needs somebody with her, not only a level of experience, but her level of skill and ability, not just for herself, but for the betterment of others. She is so young and yet has got years at this. Absolutely years. Like, she wouldn't have the reps problem. Yes, she has had to come back from, what, 3 potential career-ending injuries? And there's always that nervousness around, oh, please, for her, don't let this happen again. But just a monster standout star of a booming British indie scene in 2016. She was at the height of that scene. Nixon Newell, male or female, would have been probably in everybody's top 3 to 5 names of, oh, she's going to eventually get signed. Back then it was WWE. There was no AEW, you know, whatever it was. That was the place to go. She was probably in the conversation, I would say maybe even top 2 or 3 with probably Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate from that particular boom period. And I say this with confidence that really is informed by nothing, but I can't wait for her to debut in AEW. And I have no sense that they're actually going to sign her. I just feel it would be ludicrous not to. And I feel much the same for Swerve. And the thing is, if I name those two, I feel like I'm being really harsh and critical to the other released wrestlers. Yeah. And I'm not. Like, you can, what AEW has shown us is that there is maybe potential in that artistic expression and creative freedom. You know who we've not had yet? We've had Johnny Mundo and Johnny Impact. You're not a Johnny Elite. Like, what if that's fun for, you're a Morrison guy.
Yeah.
What if that's fun for like a 3 or 4 week story? And then in that 3 or 4 weeks, like, he really gets over to a degree that nobody saw coming. Like Jake Hager did, Christ almighty, you know, like, and all of a sudden there's a place for him. I'm not a huge advocate of it myself, but fair enough. What if the Young Bucks realize that one weekend, about a month ago, all people could talk about was the Young Bucks and Top Dollar having a fight on the internet. And they think, well, that's at very least something to have fun with on Being the Elite.
Yeah.
And then that all of a sudden extends to television. And, like, you bring a version of Hit Row in to take on the Young Bucks for a one-shot on a Dynamite, and it's really fun, really, really fun. And then you go from there. And that extends through to all the released wrestlers. There's dark elevation. There's opportunities, if not contracts. It's open season, and AEW should and will. This is not, I'm not pretending to be any kind of expert on this. They absolutely will have people that they've got in mind that they want to see and try. And I'd like to think some of the ones on this most recent list will be included.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Returning to tonight's show then, we've got one of the quarterfinals for the AEW TBS Women's Championship Tournament. We already know one of our semi-finalists, Nyla Rose. She will face either Chris Statlander or Ruby Soho on that side of the bracket. Tonight, we get a match we've seen quite a few times and I'm more than happy to see again. Jade Cargill, my pick for the whole thing, versus Red Velvet, the winner facing either Jamie Hayter or Thunder Rosa, their match on Dynamite next week, in fact. Jade Cargill, Red Velvet, storied history, as we saw highlighted on Dynamite. And for me, not a good night to be Red Velvet.
No, I love this. And I really, really hope it rules. Because this might be the closest the women's division in AEW has built to something akin to a Jungle Boy versus MJF.
Yes.
They've developed I'm not sure that the women's division is strong enough to have pillars. Maybe if they did, it wouldn't be in such a sorry state. But they've had matches, have Jade Cargill and Red Velvet, that have over-delivered, both for the limited experience of Red Velvet and the, well, complete inexperience of Jade Cargill, that have ruled. The singles match was, the tag match was great, but naturally a lot of the praise is going to go to Cody for being able to be a general in a situation with a celebrity and two fairly inexperienced wrestlers. And that had a lot of bells and whistles going for it. You know, it was, what do we call it the Shaq match.
Yeah.
And there was Cody, Red Velvet and Jade Cargill in it. So that tells you everything you need to know about the things that were going on there, as brilliant as it was. But then they kind of did it in the singles match. They kind of nailed it. There is such a believable rivalry between the two. There's a believable heat off the back of that original angle. It's felt like this has just been like, these two, if they could, will probably fight forever. You know, that Zayn Owens feeling if they're in the building, there's always a chance that it's going to come to blows. And it's all rooted in that original, feud with one another. And I've got high hopes for this. I love Jade Cargill. She's got her critics because she is obviously, of course, limited. But, to use, I guess, what is now becoming somewhat of a dated term because people have just gotten used to it, is AEW still not the buffet? And should there not be a little bit of everything? Jade Cargill's look and presence and aura is amazing. And it's so good that everything else should be given time to come because all of the other stuff is already there. You know, it works for the men, so it should absolutely work for the women. If a guy came in with a body as awesome as Jade Cargill's, with a star quality and a charisma as evident as Jade Cargill's, you would give that man chance after chance after chance. So I don't care if some of Jade Cargill's matches are sloppy because you give her chance after chance for everything else to catch up with all the intangibles that she's got. Red Velvet, I've said, I think on podcasts before, I think in 2 or 3 years, you're looking at AEW's like top female babyface.
Mm-hmm.
The fire she has fighting from underneath, and that's why she's always so good against Jade Cargill. The fire she has fighting from underneath is just sublime, and I think we're going to get loads of that here. I do think Cargill's going to win, because it's hard not to see Cargill going to the final. Like, Thunder Rosa is probably going to give Jade Cargill her best match.
Yep.
So, like, Jade Cargill beating Thunder Rosa will be this, like, legitimizing moment where it's not just the giant has strolled to the final, it's that she's actually had to really reach within. I want this to rule. I love them both, and I hope this goes brilliantly.
Yeah, I think we talked about this on the Dynamite review with that Shida Rose match. I feel like this is where this tournament, aside from the initial Deeb Shida match, of course, in the first round, it's where it's starting to kick into gear. And for me, the path to the final is clear. It is Nyla Rose versus Ruby Soho. Ruby Soho defeating Statlander whenever that match goes down. Nyla Rose versus Ruby Soho is going to be a banger of a match. Ruby Soho wins that side of the bracket. Again, like you said, Jade Cargill advances tonight, beats Thunder Rosa. Maybe some shenanigans involving Britt Baker, because we know those two are destined to sort of circle each other until finally Thunder Rosa can get her hands on her. I think it's a great story to be told there. And therefore, Jade Cargill versus Ruby Soho. And at that point, as much as I've picked Jade Cargill to win the whole thing, it's a coin flip. I don't really care.
Well, it's like this sentimental, this incredible sentimental favourite versus like that bitch show who's already put her name on the title. Like, that's the whole deal, isn't it? That's what she said. Like, it's, she's basically called a shot from the very beginning. And you've got this Ruby Soho gimmick that the whole point of it is just clawing for redemption and can't get it at the last because she's come face to face with a monster. It's brilliant.
Speaking of coming face to face with a monster, one final match to preview for Rampage tonight. Darby Allin against the biggest and the baddest there is, that being Billy Gunn, and one would expect Gunn Club maybe being there at ringside. Could Billy Gunn beat Darby Allin?
I would piss myself if he beat Darby Allin. I would piss myself if the match started with Billy Gunn comes to the ring and the Gunn Club are there flanking him. And then Darby Allin's music, boom, 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 boom. But it's not Darby Allin straight away. It's a video. And he's out in a field. And it's black and white, because black and white is artistic. And Darby's just skating around the field. And he comes to a stop. What is it in the field? It's an ass. It's a donkey just grazing away. But you can't really see it grazing away because it's got a paper Billy Gunn face on it. Bum, 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 and the commentator's like, oh no. And then, like, because you can't show it because it's animal cruelty. Darby Allin gets the skateboard and he's about to whack this donkey, but then it cuts to black. We don't know. And it's like, what could this possibly mean? It means it's rubbish.
And then he comes out on the donkey.
Yeah, he doesn't ride on the skateboard, he rides out on the donkey.
Donkey on four skateboards.
And Colton Gunn's like, oh my god. No, it's not a donkey on four skateboard. It's a donkey on four turtles on skateboards.
Nice.
Because he likes turtles.
Yeah.
Long-term storytelling. Hashtag LTST. Darby Allin's winning easily, of course. Billy Gunn's taking a coffin drop. And as is the case with AEW, it's always either groups to build to singles matches or singles matches to build to groups. So we're giving the people what they want, guys. Yes, Darby's going to be Billy Gunn, but then the Gunn Club, with their awesome win-loss record, we're so much better together as a trio. They're going to be beating down Darby. They're going to be beating down Darby. Out comes Sting, but it's still 3-on-2. Hey, my name is Paul, I'm getting tall. And we're going to get the trios match that nobody ever asked for between Darby, Sting and Paul White versus the Gunn Club. Next week's Rampage main event already booked.
I'm going to hold my hands up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Aside from commentary and all that, backstage stuff, absolutely. Got a great wrestling mind, got, you know, years of history in the business.
Mm.
Unquestionably signed, bit Paul White, Big Show. I don't care about him fighting.
No.
I mean, but briefly, QT Marshall stuff. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. But I didn't, certainly didn't think, well, this needs to be on pay-per-view. I want to pay $50 for this bollocks.
Do you know what I want?
Having said all that, if someone said to me, Adam Wilborn, for $50, Big Show will do a coffin drop. Yeah, I'll pay for it.
Oh my God. That would be the first time AEW could do the exploding ring trick, wouldn't it?
To sort of, I mean, if you want to really go like full on character mode. Darby Allin's off in this trio. I'm getting. I don't care about the match tonight. He's beating Billy Gunn really easy. He's off fighting Billy and Colton, for example. He's off fighting them.
What about Stone Cold Steve Austin Gunn?
And it's like Austin. He's there like, oh bollocks! I've got 2-on-1. Sting and his best friend, Big Show, Paul White. What always happens to Sting, and what does Big Show always do?
Oh yes,
I'm gonna. It's been a while. It's been 10 minutes. Time to turn. KO punch, you old bastard. Coffin drop onto Sting.
On a Sting, of course. How did you not see it? We're gonna have to add it to our list.
Jesus Christ, the list of. Oh my God, how are people gonna survive this? Shut up.
Your watch.
My watch was.
That wasn't me. You just turned on me.
My watch started talking. Adam, your heart rate's risen because you're talking. You're getting very giddy about a Big Show coffin drop onto a 60-year-old man, is it?
Oh, you know, remember when was it against Sheamus? I'd have to ask Ridge Bloody on. They probably watched it live in a pub. But was it against Sheamus where Big Show had he had like a chairs match and he had this comically oversized chair.
Yeah,
it's a chair that I could sit on. Imagine if he's got a big skateboard. Imagine Paul White's big skateboard. Or like they have to make him customize rollerblades that are just skateboards underneath regular shoes.
You know those like things you get like to take around IKEA to when you get buy really big furniture. That's what Big Show comes out.
Darby Allin films a video of him using 1.5 pipe and he's like he's grinding along a rail on one. Yeah, we're being silly about this because it's a silly match. However, although it is literally the third of three matches that I expect to be in this slot, how funny would it be if it's the main event and you have to have the side by side where Mark Henry's like Darby Allin and Billy Gunn? Like just the idea of them two in the frames together. Oh. I want that screenshot. You've got like the two little gun club dickheads there. Get them dead, get them. And Darby Allin's rolling his eyes. What is going on? Like, I think it'd be brilliant.
And then he could say,
well, looks like we've had enough talk. It's time for the main.
Thanks, Mark.
That version is so slow, it sounds like it's part of a Darby Allin homemade video. What has he done to Mark Henry?
Well, let us know your thoughts. Can you see if you can top that ahead of AEW Rampage tonight on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Don't forget, you can also pre-order the brilliant new book.
Paul White does a bungee jump.
What?
Sorry, plug Citrix. Sorry, that was in the middle of a. I'm just started thinking of.
Yeah, that's a shout, though, actually.
On a skateboard.
Yeah, on a skateboard.
Skates along the water afterwards.
Pre-order Citrix's new book, because he hasn't heard this. Becoming All Elite.
Like, there's not going to be an epilogue about Paul White. Like, get the book now.
Yeah. Becoming All Elite, you can order it now. WhatCulture.BigCartel.com. Get your hands on it. Order it now in time for Christmas. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Myself and Michael Hamflett will be back tomorrow to do an extended preview of Survivor Series this weekend. But for now, this has been the AEW Rampage preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us. And we'll see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.